Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Dave Kabikian.
And good morning. I'm Jean Marie Schaefer.
And we are here with John Gabriel this weekend talking to you about estate planning and Medicaid planning, asset protection, all sorts of good stuff. We're going to talk about the cold, though. That's for darn sure because it's it's cold out there.
Yeah, minus 12 right now. I don't know what the windshield is, but I don't want to know.
Well, that's nothing compared to whatever it is in Jean Marie land. What is it in the Berkshires, Jean Marie?
Well, I know with the windshield, it's 30 below zero.
Oh, there you go.
Wow.
Dangerous. It's dangerous. So don't go outside.
Yeah, nobody go outside. Jamer, you're in the comfort of your own abode.
Yeah.
Fireplace rocking? Anything? Nothing? Something?
Yeah, no, we have the fire going last night. We are not going outside until later in the afternoon.
Very good. It's one of those cool things, Jamer, where between now and like 30 hours from now, every hour it just gets warmer and warmer. And believe it or not, sometime tomorrow, it'll be like 45 degrees, I think.
It's crazy to have such a big change in 24 hours. I can't believe it. Yeah.
Well, a welcome change, for sure. It's all right if it's winter for a day or two around here, and then we'll get to spring like we're supposed to.
That's right.
John told me that the groundhogs saw its shadow.
Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah. Which means 6 more weeks of winter, if you believe that kind of thing. You know, the groundhog is all in fun. And people, you go to the internet and people say, why does everyone take the groundhog so seriously? Well, we don't. It's just for fun.
It's just for fun.
You know, for crying out loud.
I mean, spring still starts on March 21st, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it.
Doesn't matter. The groundhog is just one big party every year in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
And it gave birth to one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Oh, what a great movie. So. And you know what? No one shows that movie on Groundhog Day. We're talking about the Bill Murray movie, Groundhog Day, which is great.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they should play that on loop.
I know.
Somebody should have a channel that nobody ever does.
It's like TBS does with The Christmas Story. They run a 24-hour marathon. Why don't they do it with Groundhog Day?
I think it makes perfect sense.
I don't know.
I'm going to write a letter. I don't know where I'm writing it to, Jean Marie, but I'm going to write it.
Yeah, I would, yes.
So what's going on, Jean Marie? How are you?
I am good. I'm glad I'm surviving this cold. Other than that, recovering from being sick. So.
Yeah, Jean Marie had a doozy, John. She was out for a week.
Oh, my goodness. What happened? Bad cold?
I had COVID.
She had COVID.
Oh, you had COVID. Okay.
Let me tell you, she was one of those people, I don't know a lot of people like this, where had never had it, survived 2-3 years of good health. And
Yeah. Well, as far as I know, I've never had it, but I have had all my vaccines up to the latest.
You're the only one then?
No, maybe I had it and didn't know.
It's possible.
You know, I just got a mild case. I don't know. My wife and I both test frequently.
Yeah.
Because we both have lung issues, and you got to be careful.
Absolutely.
But we've been okay.
Well, Jean Marie knew she had it because it was a doozy, but we're really glad that Jean Marie's back and all systems go.
Yeah, because for me to take a week off from work, I had to be really sick.
Let me tell you, it was one of the nicest weeks I've had at the office. I'm kidding. So, Jean Marie, I know we have a lot to talk about, and I had one of those days yesterday where my final 4 appointments, each one was its own. Wow, I could talk to Jean Marie about this on the radio, and we could be on here for hours. Of course, it's just a half hour show now, so I don't have that time. I don't know if you had any appointments like that, but if you didn't, I'd love to pepper you with some fact patterns and get your thoughts. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. I had some interesting cases, but let's hear about yours.
Okay, and before I say it, I might as well mention that it is a call-in show, so if you're tired of hearing our stories here, 518-476-5900 is the number. Jean Marie, pick a number between 1 and 4, please.
Oh, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
I will take lucky number 3.
Number 3. Very good. So, the issue here is an existing client of ours, Jean Marie, son called, and mom and dad now live in North Carolina. So they lived in New York. They were a New York client. They created a trust, a Medicaid trust. It's governed by the rules of New York, Jamery, and mm-hmm. they moved to North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
They got older, and son called me and said, hey, listen, I'm trustee, I'm power of attorney. My mom has one foot in the nursing home. My dad's got one foot in the nursing home. What am I supposed to do here? What can I do? What can I do? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And specifically, though, one of them needs a nursing home in terms of his parents. The other one sounds like they just need a lot of home care, possibly assisted living care. Okay? So this is a normal fact pattern you deal with all the time in New York, right? And if I said to you there's a couple where husband needs a nursing home and wife doesn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the son is calling you saying, what am I allowed to do? What am I not allowed to do? I feel pretty confident you would explain to them how to qualify for Medicaid quite quickly.
Absolutely, yes. And especially since they have a trust already, that really helps.
Yeah, so the trust was more than 5 years, and there are some assets outside of the trust. And we're going to tell the audience what they'll do with those assets just in a second here, because we do have a call. We have Steve in Latham. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good morning. Very good. How are you?
I'm good.
Trying to keep warm.
Let me tell you, funny fact here, a radio studio, extremely warm on a cold day.
Yeah, we like it nice and cozy.
It's really cozy in here.
I put a log on the fire. We're all set.
What's up, Steve?
Great. So I have a question. I wanted to know what the difference is between a warranty deed and a trust. And I think a warranty deed is like a life estate.
So a warranty deed is a type of deed, right? A trust is not a type of deed. But both can be in the same neighborhood. So if you're talking about a life estate deed, which is it could be a warranty deed that provides a life estate to someone.
Yeah,
you're deeding. So you're deeding the property. You're retaining some sort of ownership in the property in the form of this legal life use. It's written in the deed, right? How does that compare to a trust? Is that the question, Jamery? Yes. What do you think?
So, I mean, the trust is much broader, right? So, a deed just transfers real estate. A trust is a whole separate legal document where it can hold real estate, it can hold other assets. It accomplishes a lot more things than a deed. So, a deed is just transferring the title of the real estate to another person. Now, if you do a deed with a life estate, that's a different type of deed, that can act similar to a trust, although it has disadvantages, because you transfer the property to someone else, and with a life estate, you keep the right to live in the property for the rest of your life. So you're kind of splitting ownership with the people that you transfer the property to.
Jamery, I like the way you said that. You split ownership, because to me that's the key. When you do a trust, Steve, it's more like you have puppets, in the form of these trustees and other people who are doing your bidding for you, as opposed to when you do a life estate deed, you actually have now co-owners officially to the property, right? You are deeding the property to someone but retaining this life use. If, Steve, you want to sell that property one day, you need the agreement and signature of all the other owners of the property, right? You just have a life use.
Yep.
If you have a trust, well, you still need someone else to sign, particularly if it's this Medicaid trust we always talk about. But the difference is, if that person doesn't feel like signing, if that person doesn't want to sell the house, we don't care. We get rid of that person because you still have the power. They're your puppet. And so we cut the string and tie a new puppet to the string.
Oh, that's
so that's the big difference. Now, what Jamery was talking about is correct as well, because sometimes people, Jamery, correct me if I'm wrong. A lot of people come in and they say, well, wait a minute. You're telling me to do a trust and spend thousands of dollars. I'm just going to do a deed, spend a couple $100.
Right.
But that deed is only for that property. When we have a trust, we're trying to protect more than just a house. We're trying to protect a CD you may have, the cash value in your life insurance. Perhaps you have some stocks or bonds or a second property. So it's more than that. And then, oh, by the way, if that house ever sells one day, it's now a pile of money. We want to protect that pile of money as well, and that's why we're usually, directing people to think about a trust really, really hard.
Okay, that does make sense now. I wasn't sure, but a trust, I always thought once you did a trust, you lost complete control. It went to whoever was on the trust.
No. So when you do a trust, you do a trust. And it's you are changing ownership but maintaining all the use and enjoyment of the things in the trust. And the way we draft our trusts, certainly this is true. You keep the ability, no matter what kind of trust we're doing, you keep the ability to change your mind on your beneficiaries, change your mind on your trustees. Through New York law and a statute in New York, we could actually revoke irrevocable trusts in New York because of getting all these signatures involved and so on and so forth. So I think, Steve, it may make a lot of sense for you to maybe go to our website and watch one of our webinars, particularly one on wills versus trusts, because over the span of like 40 minutes or so, it kind of builds these principles and then dispels some of those myths. Because a lot of people think, just like you do, that if you do a trust, you're kind of locking something up, and it's anything but the case.
Oh, yeah. Well, that answers my question, and thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, be warm.
Stay warm.
And, yes, you too.
Take care.
Have a good day.
Bye. Jeremy, maybe myths, the estate and Medicaid planning myths is a good webinar as well for something like that. There's so many people that kind of get that. Mm-hmm. And I understand why, because we throw around words like irrevocable and people, mm-hmm. Have a different definition of what that word means. Not the legal definition, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, irrevocable sounds
irrevocable,
permanent.
Right.
That's right. No control. It sounds bad, right?
So. Yeah. I tell you, Jamie, I spend so much of my day talking about toasters and ovens as a way to explain the difference. whatever works, right? The idea is teaching these principles. We have a couple minutes before our break, but I do want to get back to this fact pattern where it's an existing client. They did all the right mm-hmm. stuff when they saw you in New York, or they saw Harry, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now they live in a state where right now it's only 30 degrees as opposed to negative 12. They're in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
they are dealing with the same long-term care issues that our clients are here. We have a spouse who needs immediate long-term care in a nursing home. We have a spouse who needs long-term care outside the nursing home. And there's a couple hundred grand of assets not in the trust. So what I would say mm-hmm. is, okay, let's move things to the spouse who does not need a nursing home. And then we would apply for Medicaid for the nursing home for the spouse that does need that kind of care. And we would do something called the spousal refusal in New York. And I said to the son, I don't know the laws of North Carolina. I think you need to talk to, the North Carolinian version of Herzog Law Firm to see, is there a spousal refusal? Are there other options available? What are the thresholds there? I know, mm-hmm. for example, in New Jersey, you can't get away with spousal refusal the way you can in New York. So every state's different. And I thought, man, what a good example to people how it is really important for your trust to be a New York trust, because no matter where you move, the rules in New York are still going to be governing that thing, which is good, because we could tell you with great certainty what that means. Now, where there might be a difference is how North Carolina Department of Social Service treats their Medicaid applications and what they look for in an application.
Right, but at least your trust, is going to protect your assets, because that's going to be the same in every state.
Exactly. And then the other, of course, lesson is, if you did a trust and you spent good money on a trust, let's not have 400 grand outside the trust just sitting there doing nothing, right? Put half of it
right.
in. Put three quarters of it in.
Right.
Just like,
right.
We were teaching Steve real quick, you can have access to that money. It can come out of the trust. You're not losing control of it.
That's right. That's always the hard conversation, though, is putting the cash in the trust.
I got three more for you, Jamie, but we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, Executive Woods in Clifton Park, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston. Our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Harry, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office, 518-581-8131. Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010. And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And we're back. Dave Kabikian here.
And Jay Marie Schaefer.
Hey, Jay Marie. We've been talking in this first half of the program about how cold it is outside, but you know that already. We don't need to listen to the radio to find that out, right?
Well, I do want to say something. I had clients in yesterday, and their daughter was in Iceland to see the northern, you know, the northern lights.
Mm-hmm.
And, we were arguing, well, the husband and wife were arguing about how cold it was there, so we looked it up, and it was warmer there than it is here. It was 39 degrees there.
That makes sense. You know, it's all about these, wind currents and all that stuff.
Yeah,
that
happens.
Yeah.
Right. So it would be better. Yesterday it would have been better to be in Iceland than here.
It's funny how that works. You know, sometimes, we have those snowstorms where if you were, in Pennsylvania, you get whacked and we get nothing.
Yeah,
you know?
That happens a lot the last couple of years, too. Yeah,
I'm not complaining.
Me neither.
So, Jamery, I have three more client fact patterns. We got about 13 minutes here somehow. And we do have a call in number 518-476-5900 if anyone has a call. We got to ask you, you got three more numbers to guess. What do you think?
All right, I am going to go with number one.
Oh.
Let's go right to the top there.
Okay, so this is a doozy, but it is a all-familiar type of doozy. So, Jamery's son called me yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's one of seven. So one of seven children. Mom and dad are alive and well. Dad is slowly starting to, I'm not going to say lose it, but he's making some decisions that probably aren't the best decisions. Mm-hmm. He is writing checks every single month. Maybe, 100, 200 checks a month. $5, $20, $10, $15, $50 to different causes. Now, let's just say these causes are political causes for the most part. Or he's buying coins that maybe aren't official coins, but he's buying commemorative this and that and supporting this political cause. And I think once he started doing this, now he's got a special delivery of mail for all the envelopes for people asking him for monies. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, is he using more money than he has? No, he's got money. He's got money coming in. He's got money going out now, spending on these things. But it seems like he's being bamboozled a little bit. He doesn't think he is. And certainly that money can do a lot of good in the future if he's not spending it. Hey, it's his own money. He can do whatever he wants, right? Until one day Medicaid's asking, why'd you, spend, $1,500 a month giving money away to different political causes. That's, I'm glad you feel strong about your political views, but you could have saved that money and paid for your nursing home. So there are ramifications to it. I'm going to get your thoughts on it, Jamery, but we do have another caller real quick. His name is David. I like him already, and he's in Half Moon. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Oh, hanging in there.
What's going on?
I have a quick question for you. We're in our late 50s, the two of us, with a couple of offspring that are in their 20s. We're in our 50s. I was wondering, her name, she owns the house.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have any wills or nothing. I mean, I've got assets and stuff like that. I mean, we probably should get a will going, right? Or
yeah,
both of us even. Power of attorney and stuff like that.
Yeah, Dave, I think so. I think I would say you need an estate plan, and that may be just basics, will, power of attorney, health care proxy, maybe it involves a deed to get both your names on the property, or maybe it involves a trust at some point. Jean-Marie, you know, when I have clients who are in their 50s, we're not necessarily talking lots of Medicaid trusts yet, and we may not be worried about revocable trusts just yet because everyone, you know, knock on wood, is doing well. But a good will, power of attorney, health care proxy certainly makes a lot of sense. I would think very hard about changing the title of that house, though, Dave, because, you know, one of the things we want to do is we want to avoid probate. Okay, we want to avoid going through court when people die. And one way to do that is a trust.
Even if she left the house to the kids, that would, I'd have to have the paperwork for that, right?
Well, if she passes away tomorrow, God forbid, without a will, owning a house in just her name, under New York law, that house will be split amongst you and your children.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, we got to go through the court to have all that happen, and she could just, you know, have you on the deed as an example to take care of it. Now, if she didn't want you to get the property, that's a different story, and we could have a will that directs otherwise. But normally we're trying to avoid probate every time someone dies, particularly spouses. And what I mean is,
it takes a lot longer.
Yeah, I mean, you get to the same result, but you get there with filing fees and court appearances, and you got to deal with Jean-Marie and I, and that's before you try to avoid that.
Okay, thank you very much.
No problem.
That was interesting.
Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Jean-Marie, you know, we want people to avoid probate, not you know, throwing trust to people who don't necessarily need them, but there's some low-hanging fruit, like, you know, let's make sure that if one spouse passes, at least we avoided probate then. Let's make sure everything is pointing to each other or joint, if that's what their plan is, that
right.
is.
It's, checking all your beneficiaries. I mean, I'm always surprised at how many people don't have been, you know, beneficiaries on life insurance policies or IRAs.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say no beneficiaries, maybe no contingent beneficiaries on those accounts.
I've seen some where there are no beneficiaries. We actually have a probate where I can't believe it. We got a call from the client where it turns out that the retirement did not have a beneficiary on it. Thus, it's a probatable asset. I couldn't believe it.
That's crazy. I don't even know how you can open an account without putting a beneficiary on it.
I mean, they called the company and everything, so, you know, it's crazy. So, listen, Jean-Marie, back to this power of attorney issue. I didn't mention it was a power of attorney issue before, but I guess now I am. So, one of seven calls me, right? Child one of seven. He is the power of attorney. His siblings are saying, hey, you got to do something here. Dad's spending money like a sailor, and he's spending on, you know, he's not exactly buying gold bullion that's going to go up in value, right? He's kind of washing it away. Doesn't think he's got a problem at all. If he brings it up, he's worried about the wrath of Dad, even though Dad's capacity looks like it's getting diminished.
Oh boy.
And he said, what do we do? And let me ask you, what kind of things would you start to think about here? And let's just say short of a guardianship, because Dad does seem like he's got the capacity in general. He's just making bad decisions. So what kind of stuff, like therapeutic stuff, are you talking about with your client?
Well, I mean, so, a power of attorney, of course. And with the power of attorney, I mean, sometimes you don't want to completely take away the power of your parents, because maybe they can still do some things, but at least you can have better monitoring of what's going on. You know, the ability to be copied on their bank account statements or go online and look at their bank account and see what they're doing. You know, and then if it develops to a point where, okay, you say, all right, I think I got to kind of take the reins away from you, then you can do that next, right?
So they have that arrangement. So he kind of sneakily, that's why I'm not giving any names or locations, John. I can't do that. I can't, you know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
We got to keep it hush-hush between us.
Right. This is a public entity here.
Yeah.
You got to be careful.
So he knows exactly all the checks, Jamer. He's got the receipts. He's been looking at the statements for months. So he knows, the family knows what's going on. Dad doesn't know, the family knows every little detail. So he's saying, no, it's fine, it's my money, I'll do whatever I want,
right,
type of stuff.
Right.
Now, there's a question as to his capacity in general. He does have a neurologist, and one of the things I suggested is, hey, when's the next time that there's a doctor's appointment? You should call the doctor beforehand and say, hey, do you mind bringing up this issue in general? I said, when's the last time you've come into the office? Maybe we set up a meeting. We bring things up in general, and I say, hey, in advance, I need to see some bank statements because here's the deal. This five-year look-back period, there's going to be a two-and-a-half-year look-back period for home care. We got to just make sure we're in good shape here. And if nothing else, truthfully, say to dad, hey, look, Medicaid's going to go berserk when they see how much money you're giving to this, you know, these political entities and these non-political entities that seem like they're political entities. And, you know, even if you feel strongly about your convictions and everything, they don't care. They're going to whack you. They're going to, you know, penalize you for this. Maybe we need to tone it down a little bit.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And, you know, I said to the client, to the son, I said, look, your parents are my client. You're not my client. You're the agent, and you are talking for them as soon as they don't have capacity. And one of the things he asked me, Jamery, was, what does it mean that I'm power of attorney? What can I do right now? What can I do? And I said to him, well, look, that second paragraph of that first page of the paragraph says, your job is to act according to the instructions given to you by the principal. So if the principal says, you know, don't have an intervention, don't stop me from giving to these political parties, I know what I'm doing. Well, you got to be very careful, because if you go against that, you're going to feel the wrath of dad. But also, if dad doesn't have the capacity, then you do have to step in to do something.
Yes, the capacity issue is important, just like it is in a guardianship. But if it's determined he doesn't have capacity, you already have the power of attorney now to act for him. So that's much easier than a guardianship, where we have to get the court to agree that he doesn't have capacity and the court to decide who can act for him.
Right. And I did mention to him that the nuclear option was a guardianship, but you know, we have this issue with people who think they could still drive a car and they can't.
And that's, you should have the doctor get in on that,
because
it'll help
for sure. And we've talked about it on you know, a couple shows ago about the issue about car keys and things like that. This is a different version of it. It's less impactful because I don't think anyone's gonna, you know, get hit by a car here. We're just talking about a gentleman using his money maybe inappropriately, maybe not. But it's really tough because, you know, they say, if you aim for the king, you better not miss here, because dad's going to be pretty pissed if you try to do a guardianship and it doesn't work out.
But there's also the risk here. If he's giving away money that freely, he's certainly open to fraud.
Big time.
So asking now, you know, maybe the little donations don't matter so much, but you could be stopping a larger fraudulent transfer.
Exactly right. And it's got to be a kind of a choreographed thing, all family on the same page, and so on. It's over. That's it.
Right.
Just the fastest half hour in radio.
There you go.
Yeah.
Stay warm, everybody.
Stay warm. Have a good weekend.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.